Good morning, everybody. It is a wonderful blessing to meet together, to fellowship together, to hear God's word together. And with the ongoing crisis of this COVID situation that goes up and down like a roller coaster, I thought it would be most appropriate that we focus on one of the most encouraging Psalms that we could possibly read. And that's Psalm 23. I'm going to bring out, and actually it brings out, 10 realities. These are blessings that we have as Christians that is just so wonderful to think about and to enjoy. I'd like to begin by just asking the question, is Jesus your shepherd or just your savior? And I put just in parentheses because it's really important for us to look at Jesus Christ as a shepherd. He is our shepherd, and a shepherd is with us all the time. The sheep are totally dependent upon that shepherd. I mean, you've probably heard many times that if a sheep falls on its back, it can't get up on its feet. That's why the shepherd has a staff to be able to pull them back up on their feet again, because God says, not many wise men after the flesh are called, but God has chosen the weak of the world. Well, the sheep are weak, because there's so many things that they cannot do that they need God to be right there with them to protect them, because they are just meat for wolves if we don't have those wonderful protections that God gives to us through his shepherdhood. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. Let's take a look at the first verse here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. Let's pray and ask God to help us to know and understand what this shepherding is all about. Our Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, is our shepherd. He's not just with us, but he's in us. He watches over us. He guides us. He leads us. He protects us. He counts us. And everything that he does is everything that we need. And without him, we can do nothing regarding our eternity. We need Jesus for everything. He is our shepherd, and we need to stay close to him and make sure we do not wander off. And so we ask you to teach us today so that we will never forget that Jesus is not just our savior, but he is our shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And it's a wonderful blessing that Jesus Christ is our savior. But most people think of that as what's going to happen at the end when we are finally saved. He that endures to the end, that same shall be saved by our Savior. But we've just got to make sure we endure to the end. But this chapter by David is a reality check. He brings out 10 realities of someone who is a Christian or a follower of God's word and Jesus Christ. So one of the things we need to be aware of, sheep know their shepherd's voice. In fact, when sheep all gather together, they don't brand sheep like they do cattle, because all that is needed, all the sheep can get together, and then all that is necessary is the shepherd calls his own sheep and they automatically follow him because they recognize his voice. That's a major lesson for us to make sure. Do we know our master's voice? He knows ours. And when we cry out to him, he's there for us. The sheep will follow that shepherd wherever he goes. And that's exactly the description when we have Jesus Christ as our head and we are his body. Guess where your body goes? Your body goes everywhere your head goes. And Jesus is our head. So we need to go with him everywhere he goes, just like David brings out here, that the sheep will follow that shepherd wherever he goes. In fact, a good shepherd will even risk his life for his sheep. And that's what Jesus did. In fact, he gave his life for us. And what a gift, what a blessing that comes as a result of that. And then he goes on, something else that's very interesting, and that is, at this time, David was going through the biggest crisis of his life because he was being pursued by the king, King Saul, who became very jealous of him when he slew Goliath, And of course, he wanted to be the main kingpin, so to speak. But all of a sudden, David was the top dog because everybody was saying, wow, wow, David this, David that, and so on. God just gave him favor. So he was not only in pursuit of David, but David was homeless. He was running from cave to cave for about 17 years, from what my research shows. He was being pursued by King Saul, who was trying to kill him. In fact, if you read in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3, David described himself as being a step away from death. That's how difficult. And here he writes this Psalm 23 that we're going to go through. But it says in verse 3 of 1 Samuel 20, and David swore moreover, and he said, your father certainly knows that I have found grace in your eyes. And he said, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. So it was very difficult time. But look at David's attitude as we go through this chapter, because David was sure that God was going to provide for him. He had no doubt about that at all. And this is the good news. So notice it says here, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now in the Strong's Concordance, the word want means have lack. In other words, he's saying as long as you trust in God and depend upon him and believe in him, you can expect and depend upon God to provide every need. It doesn't say want. It says every need will be supplied. All I can say is, wow. And that has certainly been my experience. And I'm sure any who really have experienced the Christian life know that God truly keeps his word. He delivers us out of all of our afflictions. He is the good shepherd. He takes care of us. He provides for us. He saves our neck. He gets us out of all sorts of jams. And he performs miracle after miracle, but we'll get into that later. Let's take a look at the second verse. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. And what God is telling us here through David, he says, when you believe and obey God, when you believe God, you obey him. Because if you believe a truck's going to run over you, you obey by getting out of the way. If you don't believe, we'll see if you can run over me or not. But obedience and belief are synonyms in the true understanding of the word belief. And God says, if we believe and obey him and depend upon him for his provisions, he says, this is what green pastures is referring to. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, we know what it's like to be around burnt pastures. All you have to do is go down I-5 and you see burnt pastures everywhere. But it's so beautiful to see what it looks like in the month of February after the rains have come, and you just look on the mountains and they're all beautiful and green because God has provided that rain. And God says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He provides for everything. And I'd like to ask you, is there ever a time when God did not provide for you? I was just trying to think of a time that sometimes the thought crosses my mind, you know, and then I realize, man, I look at other situations and I think, I've got nothing to complain about. He says, not only the green pastures, but he's got lakes right by it. He's got ponds. He's got water by quiet waters right there by us. What a blessing that you've got a drink available for you right there in the green pastures. And another thing to think about as far as sheep, he says he leads us beside quiet or still waters, because a shepherd is not going to lead a sheep up to a raging river, because sheep are not in the same boat as deer who go across rivers and dogs who can swim and so forth. Sheep are very insecure on their feet. And God makes sure as our shepherd that he leads us beside still waters so that we don't fall in and get washed away. Interesting that God knows our weaknesses and our shortcomings, and he attends to us like a shepherd attends to his sheep. And he's always looking around. He's got this staff looking after us to make sure that we are safe. You have no choice but to prosper and to be blessed when you believe that Jesus Christ is the one who leads you into green pastures. So what a gift and what a blessing. And this is another reality of Christians, because these quiet waters, God says, you don't have to worry about anything. I've got this. You may feel like your problems are up to your ears and you're drowning in troubles and difficulties. But if we get our eyes off of the waters splashing around, remember what Peter did when Jesus called him? He says, can I come out and walk on the water with you, Jesus? Peter said, and God said, sure, come on out here. And he was walking on the water until he took his eyes off of Jesus. And that's when we get all bent out of shape also. We start looking at all the problems and we forget who our shepherd is. He leads us beside still waters. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He gives us this peace. He says to his apostles, he says, my peace I give to you. This is a gift from God. This is a reality for a Christian, is that there's no need to be worried about anything. We lift it up to God. He says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, in Matthew chapter 11, 28. What a blessing. This is our God. He is like a shepherd who cares for his sheep, like a mother hen takes care of her little babies. Let's take a look at number three. I have 10 of these realities of a Christian, but the third one is he restores my soul. The word in the Hebrew is S-H-U-W-B, which means to return to. How often do you get depressed or discouraged? Do you ever get discouraged when you see difficulties rising and maybe you get behind in your bills because you forgot to pay them or you lost your job or whatever it might be, and you just feel like pulling your hair out because you don't know what to do first? You're so far behind, you think you're in first place. But if there's anything that we need, is encouragement. And this is what he gives to us if we call out to him. He restores my soul. He returns to us that peace that passes all understanding. It's restoration. He restores a positive perspective rather than a negative one. These negative perspectives do not come from Jesus Christ. It's when you start looking at those waves crashing around your feet, instead of saying, Lord, please still these waters around my feet, because you said you lead me beside still waters. And God can still those waters for you, so that even though you may be out in the middle of a deep lake, you can keep walking right on the water, because your eyes are fixed on your shepherd, Jesus Christ, who cares for you. Let's take a look at number four. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Now, this is, we've talked about this here recently, about this righteousness, because none of us have righteousness of our own. We may have some self-righteousness and so on, but our righteousness, according to God's definition, is like filthy rags to God, because our human nature is the very nature of Satan, the devil. God allowed it to be that way from the time of the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve chose to follow Satan, that serpent in the tree. And man has been dealing with human nature ever since. But that was God's plan in the beginning. He wanted us to realize, because Jesus was slain before the foundation of the earth was even laid. It was already predetermined. He knew this was going to be necessary, because he wanted to teach human beings to come to hate, despise, and detest sin. Because sin is what causes all the problems in this world, and always has. And God wants to rid it. That's why Jesus Christ came in the flesh. In Matthew chapter 1, it says he came to save his people from their sins. And so this is when he says he guides us as a shepherd into the paths of righteousness. That is doing what is right. So do you know what this is really saying? He has declared you righteous because of your faith in his sacrifice and what he did for you, that you are declared righteous, because now when God the Father sees you, who does he see? He sees Jesus in you, and Jesus is your righteousness. The Word of God says the inward man is renewed day by day. Every day when I start off with prayer, I say, Jesus, come and live your life within me, because I cannot live this life the way you want it to be. I need you to live in me, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, just make your home and your abode in me, like the book of John tells us over and over and over again. And so now, because of his righteousness, you are now entitled to an intimate relationship with God. Remember what Cliff brought out, that in the communion, the veil was rent and split so that we have direct access to God. You don't have to go through a high priest, except through Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, but he's God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But we have direct access to God, all of his manifestations, Father, Son, and Spirit. And why is that? Why do we have this direct access? It says right here, for his namesake. Who is God's namesake? It's Jesus. Jesus is God's namesake. If you read Colossians chapter 1, it says, Jesus was the direct image and the direct reflection of the Father. If you want to know what the Father is like, let me just read it how it says that. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible. If you want to know what God is like, that's why God sent Jesus here. Say, I and my Father are one. They're the same. The Father lived in Jesus. Jesus lived in the Father, and they live in us. And so this is why he leads us into the paths of righteousness, for his namesake, because his namesake, Jesus Christ, paid the penalty. And as a result of shedding his blood for us, we have the very righteousness of God because of Jesus Christ living his life in us. So just think about that for a moment. That's just phenomenal to realize that we actually have the righteousness of God because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and your belonging to him, and he blesses you with his perfection and his character. All right, let's take a look at number 5. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Now let's look carefully at this verse, because it doesn't say he leads even though I walk through death, but it's the valley of the shadow of death, not death itself that we are walking through. It is the place or valley where death's shadow resides, because that's what we see everywhere we look. We see death everywhere. It's talking about spiritual death, people that want nothing to do with God. And we're living in a deadly society that wants nothing to do with God. They're kicking Jesus out of the schools. They're kicking Bibles out of. It's just unbelievable what's going on. And we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Even if it said death itself, we don't have to be afraid of that either, because the one living in us is our resurrection and our life. But anyway, it's good to know that everything around us, we're walking in a valley that is on death's door, and it's the shadow that we're seeing everywhere we look. And we need to ask for God's protection to deliver us from evil and from the shadow of death that surrounds us in every direction, from COVID to, you know, whatever it is. Everywhere we look, there's danger. But now that we belong to Jesus, it's only the illusion of death that we walk through, because sometimes it looks like we've had our last lunch. But death can't touch us unless we let it through fear. Perfect love, that's God's love, casts out fear. You don't have to be afraid of anything. But if we accept this truth that God is telling us right here, we can be set free from fear and the death that it brings, where people just have no hope. What a blessing to know that Jesus Christ has got our hands walking us through this valley of the shadow of death so that we don't have to be afraid of evil, because we know he's right there with us, holding our hand through the whole long 70 to 90 or 100, I'm aiming for 120 year walk with Jesus. But notice what it says next in the sixth reality. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now we know God's rod. He says it's through the rod of his mouth. The word of God is the rod that comforts us when we read God's word. But also the shepherd had a physical rod where he counted his sheep. And that's what Jesus, who is the word, does. He counts us. He counts you as being righteous. He counts you as being one of his own. He counts you as being adopted. He counts you. You are included. That's one of our main precepts in Grace Communion International. You are included. Your rod and your staff, your word and your protection comfort me to know that I am included, that I am one of yours. I belong to you, that I am going to be married to your son. These things are off the charts. These are the thoughts that David was thinking while Saul was chasing him, wanting to hammer him into the ground and turn him into dirt. But David's eyes were fixed on Jesus. And that's where he wants our eyes to be fixed, to realize God's word and his protection comfort me, because he counts us as his own. What a blessing. Number seven, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, some might say, well, I don't have any enemies. Well, you just need to open your eyes. This is speaking spiritually, if not physically. Well, David has certainly had physical enemies, because Saul had all of his henchmen and all of his armies out there chasing David down to try to kill him. But there's something even more dangerous than that, that we don't see. If you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 11 through 14, that Satan comes as an angel of light. And do not be surprised if Satan comes to you. Well, it says he's come down having great wrath because he knows he's got a short time and he's persecuting the church. And so he will bless us. He will even set us a table for us to eat. And he's telling us right here, it doesn't matter what the outside world does or thinks of us or what schemes Satan and his demons, who are our enemies. In case you're wondering who your enemies are, they're surrounding you, but they're surrounding on the outside of your shield of faith. They cannot come closer to you than your shield of faith, because you know that your protection is in Jesus. And God's is telling us right here through David, he says, you make sure I have something to eat, even though Satan's breathing down my neck. But I don't have to be afraid of him. The only thing that is accomplished when you begin to be afraid of Satan is you empower Satan to do what you don't want him to do. It's what you fear. That's what happens. And God does not want you to be afraid of Satan. He wants you to have awe for God and give Satan your no thought whatsoever. Just say, God, deliver me from the evil one, and leave it at that. But just when those thoughts start penetrating through that shield of faith and you say, well, I want to fight. I want to argue. I want this. I want that. And that's I. And all you need to say, when those thoughts start popping into your mind, realize those thoughts are coming from your enemy and they are penetrating your shield of faith. Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it is, he says, that shield of faith wherewith you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. David, that's what his eyes were on. He says, you're taking care of me. You're making sure I'm fed, even though I'm in the back of a cave here with my enemy out trying to make me have this, my last lunch. We know who our enemy is. He's Satan the demon and the demons. And we just realize our God is bigger. And this is his promise to those of us who belong to him, that he prepares a table for us. He supplies all your need. He provides all your food. You don't have to worry about anything, because he'll do that right in the presence of your enemies, no matter how much it makes those enemies upset. Jesus Christ is king. He's our shepherd. He's our head, and we have nothing to fear. Number eight. He says, you anoint my head with oil. Now, when you anoint your head with oil, it does good for your skin. It does good for your hair. But there's something far more valuable that oil represents. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. And if you read James 5 and verse 14, when someone is sick, he says, let them call the elders of the church and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's talking about a miracle. When God healed you, that is a miracle. When God says, you anoint my head with oil through David here, just think of all the miracles the Holy Spirit has performed in your life. When I think of it, I see miracles every day. We need to ask God to reveal to us the miracles he's doing. Miracles is when God does things for us that only God can do. And he is anointing my head with oil. Just start thanking God for all the miracles. And if you want more miracles, make sure you appreciate the ones he's already given to you. And thank him profusely, because he is the one that anoints your head with oil and provides the healing and the deliverance and the miraculous interventions and protections that come about as a result of the Holy Spirit living in us. Number 9, my cup overflows. I love this. You know, one of my biggest trials in life at Christmas time is trying to come up with an idea when my family members ask me what I want for Christmas. I can't think of anything. I mean, it reminds me of these three words David says, my cup overflows. God is supplying us with so many blessings that my cup is overflowing, and our hearts need to be overflowing with gratitude, because that's what pleases God. That's what David did. If you read the rest of those Psalms, not just 23, but all the other Psalms, you'll just see that David starts out with gratitude. He ends with gratitude, and he's just thankful and he's praising God. And because that's one reason why David was a man after God's own heart. He kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's what we need to do. And when something comes up, say, Lord, this is not my problem. It's yours, because you've told me to cast all my cares upon you. So that's what I'm doing. And what you want me to do, help me to obey your word. If your word is telling me, like the Proverbs say all through the Proverbs, zip your lip, then zip your lip. Don't be out shooting your mouth off saying stuff. I found that almost every time I get in trouble, it's because I've said something I should not have said. If you read James chapter 3, it'll tell you what to do with your tongue. If you can control your tongue, you become a perfectly mature human being. If you want to be perfectly mature, learn how to bridle your tongue. That is priceless. And I will tell you, you cannot do it. But there is someone living inside of you that can help you with that, and he can make it happen. Just say, God, please bridle my tongue so that the only thing I say is going to be words you want me to say. But this is another one of the realities of a Christian is our cups overflow. God just gives us everything. I mean, everywhere you look, we need to value the best blessings, and they are the spiritual blessings. They are called love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, faith, meekness, humility, self-control. All of these are what our cup overflows are talking about. David had these qualities. He was always giving God the glory, praising God, and his cup was overflowing with gratitude. In fact, he says, your gentleness has made me great. He didn't say, the money you gave me has made me great. Look what happened to Solomon. I didn't realize half of the things that ended up with Solomon. I always thought Solomon, well, he was a rich dude, and man, he was blessed beyond belief. And then I never noticed until really digging into it here last week that Solomon really blew it big time. And that was, you know, God gave him everything and he wasted it. He may have used that wisdom in various cases, but it was because of what David had done, God protected Solomon. And so it's really important we understand that David was a man after God's own heart because he was always seeing Jesus Christ as his solution for everything. My cup overflows. And then finally, number 10, the 10th reflection of what God has brought to us as Christians, the reality, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The word goodness is talking about favor. Surely good things, favor and mercy will follow me. Now notice that it says favor and mercy will follow me. We don't have to chase it. It will follow us. If you are letting your light shine, you're not going to be tripping and stumbling along the way. And as you lead the way by the light of Jesus Christ shining through you, by Christ living in you, then as a result of it, favor and mercy and grace will follow you for the rest of your life. And then it concludes and it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just think about that, what it's going to be like to be in the house of the Lord forever. We covered that Thursday night at our Bible study on Revelation 21. And when you see what the house of the Lord is like, if you missed out on that, be sure to read Revelation 21. This is the house we're going to be living in. Once there's a new heavens and a new earth, brethren, family, we don't want to miss this. This is called the better resurrection. You will have 1,000 years head start as a spirit being in the house of God, dwelling with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father before the rest of the world is resurrected to mortal life again, to finally understand the truth. And they are going to be looking to Jesus Christ and his body and the Holy Spirit and God. It's just going to be a phenomenal blessing to be a part of that first resurrection and to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the true reality. He is our shepherd. He's the one that cares for us. He's the one that pulls us out of the creek when we trip and fall and stumble and fall on our face or fall in the water or whatever. That staff delivers us, protects us. We have everything to be thankful for. And so let's conclude with prayer of heartfelt gratitude to our shepherd, Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, thank you very, very, very much for being our shepherd, for being the one who protects us and delivers us and blesses us and anoints our head with oil and causes us to lie down in green pastures, leading us beside still waters, preparing a place to eat even in the presence of our enemies where Satan can't touch us. God, you are just amazing. And we just want you to know we love you. And God, just help us to stay fixed upon you, that you are a wonderful shepherd, not just our savior to save us for eternity, but our shepherd all day long, protecting us, guiding us, leading us, and providing every single need we have. And God, to you be all the glory now and forever and ever. Amen.